There's some people marching down Center Street now with the signs say not above the law, and they're doing like a military-style chant.
That's Isaac Arnsdorf, a national political reporter for The Post.
It's 8:15. It's a perfect April morning in Lower Manhattan. There's like the longest battery of TV cameras that you've ever seen.
This morning, Isaac was standing outside the Manhattan courthouse where the criminal trial of former President Donald Trump began today.
This is the case that goes back to the run-up to the 2016 election, and Trump is accused of falsifying business records to hide hush payments to an adult film actress who alleged they had an affair to prevent that from coming out before the election.
This trial is expected to take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, and it's unprecedented.
Well, this is the first time in American history that we have a former president on trial. It's also the first time we have a presumptive major party nominee on a criminal trial during an election, and it might not be the last time just this year.
From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers. It's Monday, April 15th. Today, we take you to the New York trial of Donald Trump, where the former president is facing 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. Here's what we know to expect. Prosecutors will build a case that Trump's alleged hush money payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels, plus the efforts to keep them quiet, amounted to illegal actions to try to help win the presidency. We'll hear the defense argue that the payments were legal and meant to protect Trump's family from an embarrassing disclosure. Trump has denied having that alleged affair at all. And even this morning, after entering the courthouse, he stopped in the hallway to deliver a message to reporters, arguing that this trial is bogus.
This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country.
This trial is being overseen by New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan. During the course of the trial, we're anticipating testimony from Stormy Daniels, whose real name, by the way, is Stephanie Clifford. We also expect to hear from Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, who's now a key witness for the prosecution. But before any of that can happen, the first task is to select a jury. That process got started today. Again, the first time in history that regular Americans are being called on to judge whether a former president committed a crime. One thing to know, this trial will not be televised. So we at The Post have a team of reporters in New York rotating in and out of the courtroom and the overflow room to give us steady updates on what's happening in this trial. Isaac, who you heard at the top of today's show, was there this morning. Now we're turning to Shayna Jacobs, who covers courts and law enforcement for The Post. This afternoon, on a break between sessions, Shayna stepped out of the courthouse and onto the street to give us a picture of what happened on day one of this trial. So, Shayna, right now it is, what, around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You spent this morning inside of the courthouse to get a sense of the first few hours of the proceedings in this historic case. Tell me, what have you been seeing and hearing so far? What happened this morning?
As you know, today is scheduled for jury selection, but the entire morning session concluded without a single juror being called in to start the screening process, and that is because there were a number of legal issues that had not yet been resolved and some new issues that the parties were raising. So by the time they wrapped up, there wasn't much time left for the panel of the first 100 or so jurors to be brought in. So they sent the jurors to lunch early and told the parties to come back earlier than usual at around 1:35. Presumably, once they come back, they will get started relatively quickly on the process of bringing jurors in and screening them and giving them questionnaires.
Mm-hmm. My impression is that some of this is kind of normal for how a criminal trial works, that there is some housekeeping that you have to take care of at the outset about, like outstanding motions or questions. But also, this is a trial in which we've seen a significant number of delay tactics, essentially, coming from especially the defense attorneys. Can you talk me through, like, what was actually happening this morning and to what extent it was normal and to what extent it was a kind of prelude to what we're going to see in the rest of the trial?
It's very normal to have unresolved legal issues going into the trial itself. It was not that unusual. Often they reserve a day in advance of jury selection, a different day, to go through all of this and finalize it before jurors get here. And you're correct, there have been a number of delay requests on Trump's behalf in the past week and even before. Some of those requests were sort of touched on a little bit today. Judge Mershon officially ruled that he is denying their motion for his recusal. The Trump defense has continued to raise the issue that Mershon, in their view, is not equipped to be fair enough because of personal conflicts. He completely disagrees with that, and he renewed his statement that he's fully capable of being fair and impartial, and they moved on from that.
And some of what the lawyers were discussing with Judge Mershon this morning are related to questions around what information is going to be able to be shared with the jurors.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that and the kind of key details that there were questions around whether or not the jurors in this case are even going to be able to hear them?
Judge Mershon is making a point of excluding facts and details that may come off as too prejudicial and too unfair to Trump. A couple of examples of that are that the jury will not find out that Melania was pregnant with Barron Trump at the time of one of the alleged affairs that are, part of the evidence in this case. That's Karen McDougal. And jurors will also not see the entirety of the famous Access Hollywood tape where Trump brags to the host about being able to grab women's genitals without restriction. Mm-hmm. And so those two things are too prejudicial, according to Mershon's rulings, and will not be coming into the case in the way that prosecutors may have sought to introduce them.
Interesting. So as you were saying, jury selection is the next task that the court is going to get to. My understanding is that there are hundreds of potential jurors who are gathered there waiting to see if they might serve on this historic jury. Can you talk a little bit about who these people are and what information the lawyers are going to try to find out about them as they are picking this jury?
Yeah, so we won't know yet who they are until we hear them give some biographical details. And they are people from up and down Manhattan. They are from all walks of life and socioeconomic statuses. There's about 500 in the group for consideration at the moment, and they will be brought in groups of about 100 at a time for Mershon and the parties to begin the selection process. There will be initial screening, and jurors who say that they can't be fair or have conflicts, personal conflicts, time conflicts, those people will be largely dismissed without question. It is possible that Judge Mershon could ask to speak to some of those people individually, but it is also, at the moment, the plan to take people at their word and release anyone who says they can't serve for, one of those primary reasons.
And, I mean, for something like this that is so, I guess, politically sensitive, what are the questions that they're going to be wanting to ask jurors about their either political involvement or political alignment? Are these jurors going to tell the lawyers, whether or not they voted for Trump for president in the past?
I don't have the questionnaire in front of me, but I believe that they're not going to be asked that directly. I think they're going to be asked if they've supported him, if they have attended any rallies. They're going to be asked about what type of news they consume. So I think the parties will at least be able to get a sense of possible political leanings depending on what they hear and read and how they choose to get news. Mm. But they will directly be asked if they're involved in any certain organizations that are considered political, like the Proud Boys. You know, same question for Antifa. They're going to ask that. So I think they're trying to weed out possible extreme views either way. There will be a point where, you know, some jurors are going to admit that they don't particularly like Trump, that they've never supported him, that they've never voted for him maybe, but they can still be considered fair regardless of their personal feelings about him.
And how many jurors are they going to need in the end to do this trial?
Every criminal jury in New York, New York State, is 12. Okay. So they need 12 jurors, and I believe they'll be picking a number of alternates, especially because it's expected to be a fairly long trial, 6 to 8 weeks, and that's just standard practice.
My understanding is that the court is taking some pretty unusual measures in this trial to protect the jurors from being identified publicly, including not even allowing courtroom drawings of any of the jurors and being clear about instructions to prevent any kind of identifying information about them to be made public. Why in this case is that particularly important, and why is the judge taking extra steps to try to keep these jurors private?
So I think it's becoming more common in sensitive cases for jurors to be protected with anonymity. In this particular case, the names will not be known to the public, to press, but the parties will know those names. So they can do their own research on the people that are up for a spot on the jury. The court system and Judge Merchan are going to take every measure within their power to keep these jurors safe, number one, and also to keep them from any possibility of being tainted with. I believe the plan is to shuttle them from the courthouse to where they need to go, or at least to a central location, so they're not walking in and out of the building unaccompanied. There's going to be really no access to them except for when they're picked and we see them in the courtroom.
One last question about today's proceedings so far. Of course, former President Trump is in the courtroom as all of this is unfolding. Can you just describe, like, what he's been like so far? I mean, anything that sticks out to you about how he's handled himself in court, or if he's reacted to anything as he's been sitting there watching this?
I personally didn't have a great view of him. We were in the back of the courtroom, looking at the back of his head almost the entire time. But that said, he did spend a lot of time leaning over to his right to speak to his lawyer, Todd Blanche. I would say that he was every few seconds doing that at some points, especially when they weren't on the record, when Merchan wasn't in the room. So, you know, there's a little bit of anxious chatting with his lawyer. You know, coming in and out of the courtroom, he kind of scanned the row of the pool reporters that were sitting there. He kind of definitely did not look happy. He had a little bit of a scowl, but he behaved himself. There were no outbursts like there have been in other situations. And, you know, he was warned that an outburst would not be tolerated. He could be ejected from the trial, which I think Judge Merchan would absolutely do if he felt the need to do that.
So, Shayna, give us a sense of what's to come. After a jury is selected, after all of these motions at the beginning are out of the way, what can we expect from the beginning of the trial once it really gets underway?
The first big moment is going to be opening statements. We don't yet know when that will happen, you know, and then there will be a carousel of witnesses, some of them more key to the case than others. Some, you might have some that are really dry and they're just there to present financial documents and things like that. But there are also going to be people like Michael Cohen, arguably the key witness in the case, who was the one who paid Stormy Daniels, allegedly on Trump's behalf. There's going to be a few big witnesses that will, I think, underscore the prominence of this case, including Stormy Daniels herself. She's expected to take the witness stand.
Mm. I know you said that we're probably going to see this trial play out over the course of the better part of the next 2 months. When all is said and done, we have a verdict from this jury. What do you think the stakes are here for Trump personally, financially, and politically?
This is an enormous deal for anyone, but it is certainly a big deal for him and what it will mean for the campaign and for his future. This is not one of his cases that are about national security or election security. this is instead about more about an issue he dealt with in the middle of the campaign that he's going to argue was personal and not about keeping it a secret from voters. But of course, on one level, and the Manhattan DA has been arguing this, this is actually about interfering with the election. This is about keeping bad information about a candidate out of the public realm. But obviously, leading into this year's election, this has the potential to have a lot of impact. This is not going to be a flattering presentation of who Trump is and what he's accomplished. This is going to be the opposite of that. And him and his team are going to be defending some pretty salacious things and some pretty allegedly egregious conduct.
Shayna, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us and explain all of this. Really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Shayna Jacobs covers federal courts and criminal justice at The Post. After we talked to Shayna, later in the afternoon, jury selection did, in fact, begin in earnest. A first batch of almost 100 potential jurors were brought in. As the judge read extended instructions to the jury, Trump closed his eyes and at times appeared to nod off, then would abruptly catch himself and stiffen his posture. The judge asked these potential jurors if they could hear the case against Trump fairly and if they could be impartial. About half raised their hand to say that they could not, and they were excused from the court. As I said, The Post is going to be covering every day of this trial. So if you want to keep up with the latest, you'll definitely want to head to WashingtonPost.com. After a quick break, we've got some news from the Middle East. We'll be right back.
I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
Before we wrap today's show, we wanted to share some updates on a story that you might have seen over the weekend. On Saturday night, Iran launched more than 300 armed drones and missiles at Israel. It was a five-hour onslaught. This was the first ever direct attack by Iran on Israel. The attack was in response to a strike that Israel carried out earlier this month on Iran's diplomatic compound in Syria. That strike killed two senior Iranian commanders. The Israel Defense Forces said that there was limited damage from Saturday's attack, and 99% of the missiles and drones were intercepted. Now, Israel's war cabinet is deliberating on how to, quote, send a message to Iran, while also preserving international alliances. The Post has reported that Israel is looking at options that would not cause casualties. U.S. officials want to avoid a wider war, and they are concerned that Israel's response could further escalate tensions. That's it for Post Reports. Thanks for listening. Today's show was produced and mixed by Ted Muldoon and Peter Bresnan. It was edited by Lucy Perkins. Thank you also to Maggie Penman. If you are looking for the latest updates on the big news of the day, check out our morning news briefing, The 7. We bring you through the 7 stories that you need to know about every weekday morning by 7 a.m. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or by following the link in our show notes. I'm Martine Powers. We'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.